The wait is very nearly over. We are just hours away from the start of the 2023 Ryder Cup at Marco Simone Golf and Country Club in sunny Rome. It's already been a spectacular week, but now we know who'll be playing in the opening session on Friday, and that's what we'll get into right now on the official Ryder Cup podcast brought to you by City. I'm Marcus Buckland, welcoming you to the Ryder Cup Festival Village here at Marco Simone, and there's a real festival atmosphere about the place, as I'm sure you can hear. Roars of approval as the junior Ryder Cup team, the European team that won by a record margin of 11 points earlier today, are being paraded there on top of each other's shoulders. What a fantastic occasion it has been for them, and we're particularly proud of young Giovanni because his dad, Alberto, is part of our coverage and we'll be hearing from him just a little bit later on. I don't know if that's an omen, a prelude to what's going to come over the weekend when the 44th Ryder Cup gets underway, but that was a mighty impressive performance from those young Europeans. Now, we have just witnessed a really well-produced opening ceremony that included thoughtful, passionate speeches from both captains, Luke Donald and Zach Johnson. Tom Grennan provided a mini musical extravaganza. The Italian national anthem was beautifully sung by Carly Paola. We're in the giant food tent in the Spectator Village. We're heading towards the end of what has been another very steamy September Roman afternoon, alongside Lee Slattery and Sophie Walker, who have been looking in close detail at the pairings for the foursomes that were announced at the end of the opening ceremony. It all gets underway at 7:35 tomorrow morning. What a first match, by the way. John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, we thought they might get paired together. They have been. They'll be up against Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns. Then at 7:50, it's Victor Hovland, who had a hole-in-one today at the par 4 fifth, just to get him in the mood. He's going to partner the newbie, the superstar of the future, we think, Ludvig Åberg. They're up against Max Homer and Brian Harman. At 8:05, Shane Lowry will go out, not as many thought, with Rory McIlroy, but Sepp Straka, the Austrian, who I have to say has got an awful lot of support here, an awful lot of very loud support. There are about 20 or 30 Austrians decked in their national colours, belting out tunes. They're going to look forward very much to him teeing off at 8:05, up against Ricky Fowler and Colin Morikawa. And then last, but by no means least, at 8:20, it's Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy against Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. Sophie Walker and Lee Slattery, as I say, have run the rule over those pairings. The perhaps the one surprise on the American side, Sophie, no Jordan Spieth and no Justin Thomas in that opening session.
A big surprise. They've won 8 of their 10 matches in foursomes and four ball. But then you look down the list, there was rumours of the Max Homer and the Brian Harman pairing. And next thing you know, it's like, well, where does Colin Morikawa fit into this? He is arguably the best foursomes player in the American side because of his wonderful iron play. He's undefeated at Ryder Cups. And so someone had to miss out, and I didn't see the Spieth and Thomas foursome not going out tomorrow morning, but they will be out tomorrow afternoon for four ball.
Yeah, and as far as the Europeans are concerned, Lee, the four who will, well, sit out tomorrow morning are McIntyre, Højgaard, Rose and Fitzpatrick, but has Luke done pretty much what you were expecting?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I honestly think they are the four names that I think I would have sat out, you know, looking at it. Guys that aren't maybe in as good a form as other players, and you know, you've got two guys there that are, you know, are rookies, you know, very inexperienced, and then you obviously have Justin Rose, who's played well this year, played pretty solid, but you know, he's certainly not played the best out of that side. And I honestly think that is the four that I would have left out. I maybe would have had the pairings a little bit different, but you know, but the guys that I thought would play in the morning are playing in the morning.
Yeah, in terms of those pairings, the one perhaps that surprised me a little, Shane Lowry was set. Straka, I didn't see that coming, did you?
Well, I just think when you look at Sepp Straka and you look at his game, he's a great putter, he hits the ball very straight. I see this golf course as a positioning golf course. You've got to hit the fairways, and you know, and Shane Lowry, as we all know, is a fabulous iron player. You know, he can shape the ball right to left, left to right. You know, he's perfect, you know, as long as he can hit the fairway, Shane will hit the irons, and Seb Straka, he just hits the ball so straight. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good pairing.
Mm. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of very loud Austrians who'll do their best to make Seb feel as comfortable as possible in what's going to be the most nervous morning of his life, for sure.
Yeah, it is, but I think when there's, you know, one player from a specific country like Austria, we underestimate what that can do to a country. And you know, being from Britain, there's so many golfers that come and get every Ryder Cup. There's loads of Brits in it. But to have an Austrian player in this is so important for that country. And being out there with Shane Lowry, the Irish fans will be supporting them and well as well. And that's, what is there, 8 countries represented in the Team Europe? And it's important for those smaller golf countries to have that hope in Seb Straka in order for the young boys and girls to come through, and in 10 years' time, we'll see another one in the Ryder Cup, I'm sure.
OK, well, let's sink our teeth into these matches in a little more detail. Of course, we know just how important it is to win the first session. Interestingly, Luke Donald, the European captain, made the decision to start with the foursomes. It's the first time since 1993 in Europe that we've gone foursomes, then four balls. I have made the point that the last time the Americans won on European soil was in 1993. But Rahman Hatton will look to get the hosts off to a flying start. It has been a much speculated partnership ever since the teams were confirmed. And Tyrrell was asked about the possibility of playing with the Spaniard on Wednesday. This is what he had to say then.
Well, I think we're both fairly similar, pretty fiery people. But John's obviously a fantastic player and naturally brings a great energy. I generally enjoy being in John's company. So yeah, it's always nice as well when you're playing with a great player.
I mean, there's Tyrrell sounding really calm and composed. But I mean, this is ever since we did that preview podcast, Lee, and Captain Rob Lee said, "I want those guys out first." But he's got his wish. It's going to be one heck of a start to this 44th Ryder Cup with those two involved, isn't it?
I think it's going to be feisty. I mean, those two guys are real competitors, aren't they? You know, I mean, they'll be standing on that first tee. And I'm not saying that Scotty Scheffler and Burns aren't, but they are a force to be reckoned with, them two. You know, you would not want to be playing them two in foursomes first out. But, I mean, what a great team it is. I'm very excited about that, and they will get the crowd going.
You've been looking at Scotty Scheffler very closely. Of course, he's got a new putting guru. That's been the one area of his game that's really let him down this year. Scheffler and Burns as a combination against Rahm and Hatton. How do you see the dynamic working there?
Well, Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns are best friends, both of them 27 years old, knew each other as teenagers and has come through the PGA Tour. They travel together, their wives get on very well. It's documented that Scheffler went up to Zach Johnson and said, you know, I want Sam Burns on the team. Sam Burns won the match play, obviously, so it's not like he's, well, where did this guy come from? He was... Well, when we talk about the 13th man on the last Ryder Cup team at Whistling Straits, that was him, Sam Burns. The Scotty Scheffler-Sam Burns pairing is something that we all saw coming. And if you talk about personalities, there's the calming on-the-course personality of Scheffler and Burns against, well, totally the opposite in Rahm and Hatton.
Yeah. I think just about anything could happen. Can't wait to see exactly what does. That's 7:35. Second off at 7:50, it is Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg against Max Homer and Brian Harman. Of course, the spotlight is very much on Ludvig. He's had this extraordinary year. Do you have any concerns at all that it might all prove to be just a little bit too much for him in the cauldron of the first morning of the Ryder Cup?
I just honestly don't think so. I think you know, when you play amateur golf over in America, you play for universities, you know, you play a lot of match play events, and there's a lot of pressure on those kids to try and find the feet and become as good as they possibly can in the amateur world rankings to then move on onto the professional rankings. I think that's where most of the pressure lies in golf, is trying to get there. And this guy has got there quickly. I mean, it's very, very impressive. And I think we all thought that partnership was going to happen, and it has.
Yeah, and Victor Hovland, as I mentioned at the start of the programme, with that hole-in-one today. Everyone hates his music, which apparently is horrific. Rory McIlroy said it was like listening to the devil. but everybody also loves his golf and his demeanour. I think he's going to be a huge presence over the 3 days. What about Max Homer and Brian Harman as a combination, Sophie?
I like it. Brian Harman will keep the ball in play off the tee. Max Homer has an outstanding approach game alongside Colin Morikawa for me in the way that he hits his shots into the green. The Open champion in Brian Harman wasn't fazed at all at Royal Liverpool. With all the fans cheering for Tommy Fleetwood, the local lad, he went out there and looked unstoppable. He'll be that same. He played Walker Cup, and it's that demeanour about him. Is nothing will faze him. He's a good match player. And Max Homer was brilliant at the President's Cup. So two rookies. You know, imagine having the major champion in Brian Harman as a rookie.
Yeah, you're spoiled for choice in that regard. And, of course, you've got Wyndham Clark in a very similar position as well. There is going to be a huge amount of noise on the first tee. I reckon for about 6:30 tomorrow morning. Don't forget, we're on air at 7 o'clock local time. Matty Adams and Alberto Binaghi have made their way down to the first tee, where I imagine now it's reasonably calm. But, Matty, your initial impression to the pairings that have been revealed within the past hour or so.
Marcus, thank you very much. We have found our way here to the back tee on number one, and you are correct. There is a serenity here at this time that belies the fact that tomorrow this will be the center of the golf universe, with thousands and thousands of fans that will gather here well before the sun comes up and shines over the eternal city of Rome as we await the answers that lie in store. My initial reaction to the pairings accordingly is that Luke Donald front-ended his. He put out some very, very strong teams on the front end, and I'm looking forward to doing some analysis with these matches. Birdie standing next to me, Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns against John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton to start the 2023 Ryder Cup. Your reaction?
Well, it's a great match, obviously, all good player, and I think they're going to finish all square on 18.
All right, I got an early estimate that. When you look at it, Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns, as Sophie was saying, best friends. Scottie Scheffler has a 2-0-1 in his one prior Ryder Cup experience, but Sam Burns, with Scottie Scheffler in the President's Cup, was 0-3-2. Whereas John Rahm's record is 4-3-1 in two prior Ryder Cups, Tyrrell Hatton at 2-4-1. When you look at the merits of each, Tyrrell Hatton, second on tour in scrambling from 20 to 30 yards. He's seventh in strokes gained total and 13th in strokes gained off the tee, seventh in strokes gained putting. That is such a strong combination to go with John Rahm, who we already know is strong with four wins in the season that just ended. He's, as I mentioned, a winning record in the Ryder Cup. He's has 10 top 10s to go along with those four wins, and he's first in fairway proximity at 28 feet 9 inches on tour. That is so formidable. Birdie, if I look at that pairing, I have to go with Rahm and Hatton to win the first match of the Ryder Cup. Let's talk about match number two. Max Homa and Brian Harman. Homa has not played in a Ryder Cup before, but at the President's Cup, he went 4-0-0. Brian Harman is a rookie. Victor Hovland, 0-3-2 in his prior experience, and Ludvig, of course, is a rookie. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can't wait to see the two Scandinavian playing going out. I'm so excited about this couple, and I think they're going to have a win tomorrow.
Right, you think the youngsters are going to have a win?
Europe is going to have a win, yeah. They're too good for, I mean, these two guys, they go well together and they go very aggressive from the tee. So I think they will have a win tomorrow.
All right, well, you and I are going to differ on that one, because I'm looking at Max Homa with the record that he had in the President's Cup. Two wins and 12 top 10s this year. With Brian Harman, who we saw how he performed in the cauldron that was the Open at Royal Liverpool. He's first in scrambling on tour. He's first in putting from 6 feet. He's 22nd in strokes gained putting, and he had one win and, of course, three runners-up, that one win being a major championship. So through two matches, you've got my friend standing next to me that has Europe in match number one. I also have Europe in match number one. In match number two, we're going to split. He's taking Hovland and Ulfberg. I am going to take Homa and Brian Harman. So through two as yet on my side, the Ryder Cup is matched, Marcus.
Okay, thank you, Matty. Very interesting. We'll come back to you guys for matches 3 and 4 in just a moment here on the official Ryder Cup podcast brought to you by Citi. They're not authors, but they help you shape your financial story with global expertise and over 2 centuries of experience. Citi provides tools, insights, and guidance that helps clients thrive. They're not just any bank, they are Citi. More at citi.com/wearecity. Great to have your company. I'm Marcus Buckland. I've got Sophie Walker and Lee Slattery alongside me here in this huge food hall where fish and chips are still available. So too arrosticini, which basically is kebabs, hamburgers and porchettas, and the Straka Singers are back. They're having a little breather, some liquid refreshment, but I think we might get treated to another of their... Well, it's a pretty limited repertoire. It's basically Sepp Straka, la, la, la. But it's fine, it's good. And hopefully they'll pipe up again in just a moment. So, in terms of the scorings, we've just heard that Alberto's got Europe 2 up after the first 2 matches. Matty reckons it's 1 apiece. Sophie, Lee, just tell us what you think the situation will be at the halfway stage in that morning session.
I'm agreeing with Matty at the moment. I'll go 1-1.
Oh, so you're going with Rahm and Hatton, and you think that Homer and Harmon will come through?
Yeah.
Lee?
I'm exactly the same. Yeah,
oh,
the same.
Okay, okay. So far, the optimist in our group is Alberto, and why not? His son was part of the winning Junior Ryder Cup team today. He's got us, I say us, we are strictly neutral, and I'll have my knuckles wrapped if we show any bias whatsoever. He's got Europe 2 up, but the others reckon it'll be 1-1. So we come on to the 8:05 match. Now, this is Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka, and we have spoken a fair bit about him. Ricky Fowler and Colin Morikawa. Can't wait to see which Ricky Fowler turns up this week, Lee.
I think it's a good one. I mean, I was watching him on the range this morning, and, I mean, he looked great. You know, he was hitting the ball well. You know, he seemed very cheerful. And, you know, I think he's a different Ricky Fowler. I think his swing has been reconstructed over the last maybe 6 months or so. And I don't know, I think he is a different Ricky Fowler. He's more mature. His record's not been great in the Ryder Cup, but I think that will change. I think he might surprise a few people this week.
I also remember you saying that you feel Colin Morikawa could have a massive bearing on the way things go this week. Why is that?
I just think because his game suits this golf course so much. He hits it so straight off the tee. And again, you know, the distance, it doesn't matter around here. You've just got to get the ball in play. There are literally one or two holes where a driver might be an advantage, but I don't see any more than that. I just think it's a positional course. Most holes, you know, you want to be knocking it down there maybe 280 to 300 yards, and then it's all about the iron play, and he's one of the best. I mean, if not the best on the planet, so...
And in terms of the European pairing here, we know about Straka. Now, Shane Lowry, when he was picked originally, there were one or two who said, oh, his recent form does not justify a pick. Luke Donald very quickly said that he's the man for the big occasion. Have you seen enough in his game over the past couple of weeks, Sophie, as well, to be confident that he's going to go out and show us some vintage Shane Lowry golf?
I think anybody who thought Shane Lowry shouldn't be in the team knows nothing about golf. Personally, I think he needs to be in this 12. He's not played foursomes in the Ryder Cup, so no one quite knows what's going to happen with him tomorrow. Played the best out of the European team at Whistling Straits, and sometimes that happens, you get nothing from it. And that was the feeling that Shane Lowry got, that the disappointment of not coming out with many points, obviously not coming out with the cup. This year in Europe, feeling, you know, like he's got a point to prove. There's nothing wrong with a golfer with a chip on his shoulder with a point to prove. And going alongside Sepp Straka, there's always going to be a couple of pairings that you go, well, I just don't quite know what's going to happen here. Luke Donald's clearly gone into his statistics and thought this is a good matchup. And against Ricky Fowler and Colin Morikawa, I kind of like that as a foursome pairings on both sides. It's not going to be bombers. They're both going to be hitting from a similar spot. And it'll just be a different foursomes pairing to watch rather than a Hovland and Oberg, which will be hitting it miles. So this will all be about strategy, play in foursomes tomorrow.
Okay, well, you've both agreed with each other over the first two matches. Who's winning number three for you, Soph?
I'm going with America.
Ooh, okay.
Actually, no, I'm going with a half. Ricky Fowler always goes all the way in these matches, so I'm going with a half.
Oh, I like it.
He likes
like
to go
it.
Down 80.
Okay, a half for Sophie. Lee?
Yeah, it's a half for me too. I was going to say half, I know.
You two, you're going to differ about anything.
I can't change because I was thinking about it 5 minutes ago and that was my thought. So.
Uncanny. Oh, dear. Okay, and last but by no means least, 820, Rory McIlroy. I think when the players were introduced today, actually, aside from the Molinari brothers, who got a massive cheer, understandably, Rory got a huge ovation when he was introduced by Luke Donald. Tommy Fleetwood not too far behind, of course, and Lee, you know Tommy extremely well, up against Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. What's going to decide that match?
Well, I mean, we all know that if Tommy and Rory play their best games, I mean, I just don't see them getting beat. You know, again, watching them warming up this morning, very happy with the games, you know, chatting to the caddies, and they just said that they're hitting the ball well and they're very happy with the games. Now, that is such a strong pairing. Arguably, you could have put that pairing out first as well. It's just one that's going to get the crowd really, really, really excited, and I'm excited to see that as well. And I see them winning that one, maybe 3-2. I see that one being quite an easy win, personally.
Well, if you're right, it means that Europe, if my maths is right, will have a 2.5, 1.5 lead after the morning session. Don't tell me you're going to agree again completely with
no,
Mr.
No,
Slattery,
I'm not,
Sophie.
Look, I'm chairman of the Rory McIlroy fan club and know Tommy since he was 13 years old. But the two that they're up against, stone cold killers from California, they are the best pairing that the Americans can have. When Matty says that you put the strength at the bottom, that's what Team USA have done right there. They're, once again, best mates, both from California, share the same coach, just don't grow sick of each other at all. They don't even need to talk to each other to know how each other are going to play. It's that if I tell you what, if Rory and Tommy can beat them, that is a dagger to the heart to the American team, because I think they're so significant. So from a European point of view, I'd love them to get something out of it. I think if they get a half, they've done well. So I'm going to just go on the air of caution and say a half.
Well, in which case, it'll be two apiece at the interval. And this is interesting because Luke has gone out of his way, obviously, to put the four balls first because he feels the Europeans are much stronger. Therefore, I'm assuming he expects it to be rather better than 2-2 after the morning session. Why are we starting to get worried already about Europe?
That's exactly what I thought. I think that the players that America have to put out in the afternoon are much stronger than the players for Europe. So that's why I have it tipped that way a little bit, because I think in the afternoon they could maybe turn it around a little bit, America, with the four balls.
OK, well, we'll talk a little more about the potential four-ball partnerships in the afternoon. But let's go back to the first tee, to Matty, who had the first two matches split at one apiece. Good old Alberto reckons that Rahm and Hatton and Hovland and Aubert are going to win. Boys, what about matches 3 and 4 for you?
Just as a matter of accounting, Bergie said to me after we went away, he said, no, he said, I had the first match split. So right now, our friend from the host country of Italy has 1.5 points for Europe through the first two matches. Match three, my friend, Ricky Fowler, Colin Morikawa will be going up against Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka. Where do you see it falling?
Another great match of foursome here. I can see two geniuses of golf, Ricky Fowler and Peter Lowry. They can do whatever they want with the hands, especially around the greens. And I can see two similar players, Morikawa and Straka, two beautiful Straka, very consistent, good approach irons. So I think this match is very, very tight. It's going to finish on the 18. I think both they're going to have the eagle putt. So who's going to think that putt is going to win? But for me, it's another tie.
All right, so you're saying a tie again, yeah. Just for clarity on this one. So now we're up to 2 points from Birdie in terms of the European team through three matches. I look at these and I look at Ricky Fowler, who, while Ricky Fowler had good form this year with a win in 8 top 10s, he's 11th in strokes gained total. Ricky Fowler does have a losing record by a considerable margin in the Ryder Cup at 3-7-5, and much of that record was earned when Ricky Fowler was playing some of his very best golf. Colin Morikawa, in contrast, 3-0-1 in his record. The question with Colin Morikawa is always about the putter. If the putter is on song, then watch out. He's second in strokes gain approach for a multiple-time major champion. That is up against the likes of Shane Lowry, again, a major champion himself with a 1-2-0 record. But as Sophie pointed out, he played extremely well, just didn't get lucky at the times and he needed to. And Sepp Straka seems to have a package of performance that is admirable, meaning that in that regard, and in this particular one, is that he's very, very good with the putter. So when I look at this one, I'm actually going to go with Europe edging out Fowler and Morikawa in that one. Match number four, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay against Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood.
Wow. I can't wait to see this match. I mean, this is going to be fire in this match. It's going to be so many birdies and possibly eagles. And I think Rory and Tommy, they're going to have the point because, I mean, Rory wants these points. Tommy's he's got a great record in Europe. So I think this couple is going to take the point to the captain.
All right. My partner Birdie here continues to pick with his heart. I look at this and in listening to what Sophie had to say about Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay with 3-0-1 records. Very impressive indeed. Rory McIlroy is 12-12-4 in his Ryder Cup experience. And Tommy Fleetwood, of course, has a winning record at 4-2-2. Tommy Fleetwood, however, the way he's playing right now is impressive. 13th in the world. He's 8th in stroke average, 26th in driving distance or driving accuracy, and 64th in distance. That's a really powerful combination. Obviously, Rory McIlroy has it working. First in driving distance, second in strokes gained off the tee, second in strokes gained total. The risk for Rory McIlroy is when he has the wedge in hand, and that will happen on this golf course. Putting from 4 feet, he's 111th on tour. The wedge in hand that I just mentioned, from 75 to 100 yards, he's 150th on tour, not even to average. Having said that, you're talking about Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood. Even though I agree with Sophie that Schauffele and Cantlay are stone cold assassins, I believe was the phrase that she used, I see this one finishing in a draw.
Oh, interesting. Okay, in that case, if I've got things right with my accounting, which is most unlikely, Alberto is predicting a European lead of 3.5 to 1/2 at lunchtime. And Matty, what are you? 2.5, 1.5?
Hold on, he wants to correct you.
Oh, now it's 3-1 for me because I have 2.5 first match and the third match, yeah, and I got 2 win, yes. Second and 4.
I knew this was a mistake, me trying to keep up with the scoring system.
But you're doing a good job.
Well, I'm getting it all wrong, but okay, 3-1. Sorry, Alberto. Did I get you right, Matty? You've got 2.5, 1.5, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, okay. Great stuff. And just quickly before you go, looking ahead to the afternoon, obviously, well, nothing's obvious, but presumably Spieth and Thomas will be out in the four balls for the Americans. Anything else? Well, having seen the pairings, that makes sense for you in the afternoon now?
Yeah,
mate?
I mean, I think it's interesting that we haven't yet mentioned Brooks Koepka. And to me, I mean, here we are in the shadow of the Eternal City. Brooks Koepka is the ultimate competitive gladiator. So I do think that in the afternoon, the United States pairings and the potential therein are going to be very, very powerful. As stated, you've got Spieth and Thomas, who've won 8 of 10, and you've got Brooks Koepka, who is a reigning major champion this year, and he's Brooks Koepka. So I think with that combination, I'm not sure how the captain is going to put them together, because Wyndham Clark is also likely to play in the afternoon as a rookie. I think there's going to be some very, very strong pairings in the afternoon as well.
Yeah, well, we've had some questions answered, lots more to be posed, and it'll be fascinating. And I know that Alberto, as well as looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll also keep an eye on Giovanni, his son, because they've had a celebration today, but he's only 16 years of age. I mean, I don't know, if I was 16, I just won the Junior Ryder Cup, I'd be tempted to, well, Lee? Let's not go down there. Celebrate. It's been an absolutely fantastic achievement for the Benaghi family and for the European team. So just finally, in terms of the afternoon, this is what's so great about the Ryder Cup. You get a few questions answered, but there are still so many other potential possibilities. But having heard from the captains, Lee, having seen the pairings, you were edging towards Europe before the start of the week. Are you still going that way?
I think so. I think, a lot of it does depend on those strong pairings playing well. You know, I mean, if Rory goes out there and wins 3 or 4 points in this Ryder Cup, gets his confidence back, I think it'll just pick the whole team up. And, I'm just edging them. I think because it's on home soil and, you know, the crowd will be a little bit more behind them. But it's just going to be so tight. I mean, you could see a draw.
And that fourth match, you've suggested already, the Fleetwood McIlroy match, depending on how that goes, might go a long way perhaps towards deciding the whole week?
Oh, you can't say that in the first morning, as he's proved last week at the Solheim Cup. But I think the Ryder Cup needs USA to win in Europe. That'll really spice things up, so I'm going to pick them.
OK, well, thank you very much indeed. My computer, of course, is where luckily we have somebody much more technically proficient than me, has blocked out the final things that I have to say. Jack, thank you very much. First of all, I would say, Sophie, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. And Lee as well. Terrific to have you on the team. The sun is still beating down outside. Local time, it's coming up to 5:45. And don't forget, temperature-wise, we are expecting three just about identical days, around about 82, 83 degrees, and barely a cloud in the sky. The time for talking is nearly over. Luckily, Ryder Cup Radio will bring you uninterrupted commentary of the match from the first shot on Friday morning and beyond, the close of play on Sunday. You can listen on RyderCup.com, the official Ryder Cup app, as well as around the course on official headsets available here at Marco Simone. Plus, there's this very podcast at the end of each day, so make sure you subscribe. You won't miss any episodes. It is set to be a brilliant first day. For now, thanks for joining us on the official Ryder Cup podcast brought to you by City.